Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. Book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 15. Chapter 15, we'll start reading at verse number 1. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and they rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, in these first four verses, he's just given this about the gospel, given the truth of, according to the Scriptures, and that what was going on and what had happened with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection. Then in verse number 5, here's talking about another resurrection appearance, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. We'll stop reading there. We'll pick up on the Apostle Paul later, the Lord willing, but right now we're going to look at verses 5 through 7 and pray God to help us a little bit here tonight, that we might share a thought or two with you that'll help you along the way. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to open the Word of God and to read. I thank you, Lord, for the death, the burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us, and that you did raise from the dead, and that you are living Savior. And God, tonight, that we do not bow to a dead God, but a living God, and that you manifest yourself and show yourself real, and we praise you and thank you for it. I pray in Jesus' name for Brother Mark Wooker tonight, asking God to help him in a special way. You know his need, and I pray you'd touch him. I pray for Angie Smith tonight. You'd help her in a special way. Then, Lord, I pray for Brother Bob McElroy and ask you to help him. We pray, Lord, for Brother Brock. Thank you that he got to come tonight. I pray you bless him and help him. Our Father, we think of all these and many others, those on the prayer list and those, God, we need to pray for. Ask in Jesus' name that you'd help, touch. We'll praise and give you glory and honor. I pray tonight, touch us to preach. Power of God be upon us. And Father, we'll give you all the glory and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we're thinking about the resurrection appearances, and we're coming at least two more tonight. I may give you another three, but let's see how far we get with this, but I took a break from that, but I felt led to come back to it. We talked about in every appearance that is mentioned in Scripture, there is a certain theme in that appearance that runs through it. The first one, when Mary Magdalene went there, was comfort, and she was comforted and said, "Fear not." She was certainly distraught about the fact she couldn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. Then we talked about boldness as it sent some of the women back to tell the disciples that he was alive. And we talked about that. Then we talked about restoration. Here in our Scripture, it's talked about verse 5, seen of Cephas, Simon, or Simon Peter. And that's the one we talked about being restored. He had wept bitterly, but I believe Jesus found him somewhere and told him he forgave him. And was one of his children. And don't you know that was a blessing to Apostle Peter in that day that would happen to him. Then we talked about the fellowship, two disciples going down to Emmaus, fellowship they had with the Lord Jesus Christ, living Christ, and they fellowshiped with him. Then we talked about his appearance to the disciples And he said to him, peace be unto thee. And he said it again, peace be unto you. And so in that appearance, peace runs through it. I'm glad Jesus still speaks peace to our hearts and peace to our lives. Aren't you glad for that? And so a resurrected Christ speaks peace. And I'm thankful there is a peace that passeth understanding man. I'm thankful for that. And give God glory and praise for it. Then not only peace, but Thomas wasn't there. Then when Thomas was there, he appeared again. And that time, he assurance is shown forth in that appearance because Thomas wouldn't believe until he saw it. He said he had thrust his hand in his side and his fingers in the print. But Jesus spoke to him, and Thomas said, my Lord and my God. And even before he touched him, he was crying out what he really was. Appearance of the Lord Jesus that brings assurance. I'm glad we have blessed assurance Jesus in mind. And he appeared unto them, so Thomas have that assurance. And then after that, he began to talk to the disciples, says, even as the Father sent me, even so send I you. And talking about service, resurrection, so the service runs through that resurrection appearance. And I praise God that he lives so that we could serve him and that we might tell others about him. Tonight, we're looking now at the resurrection appearance. Let me say this before I get into this, what I want to say tonight about this scripture, that the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 probably is the greatest chapter in the Bible on resurrection. It tells about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, tells about what it would be like if he didn't raise, tells about those that don't believe it, then tells about what's going to happen to us that do believe it. I say hallelujah, what a chapter in the Word of God, resurrection chapter. If I'd title it, that's what I'd title it. He starts out by giving the gospel, but winds up talking about resurrection. I'm thankful that there is a resurrection coming for us as well as it was for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he did raise, and literally as he rose, we shall raise. And let's talk about the certainty of the resurrection. Look at verse number 5. He's seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Verse number 6, after that, he was seen of above 500. I'm getting excited about it, thinking about it. Amen. That's evangelistically speaking. Amen. But down to earth, what it says, and after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain in this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, here's a certainty of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said he was seen above 500 at one time and said even now most of them are alive. There's a few of them passed on and have died, but said most of them are still living. What Paul was saying was, if you don't believe in a literal resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, go ask some of the 500 that saw him and said, we have witness, we have testimony of these that saw him alive. Now, if he's going to court of law, and you saying somebody's on trial for something that they did or they was accused of doing, but there was some witnesses said he wasn't even there. He was over here in another place. And they said, well, bring your witnesses forward. And they began to bring one, then two, then three, and right on until it got up to 500. I believe that the jury would be persuaded that he was over here instead of over there. And so I'm persuaded tonight that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And here's a certainty of it. They seen above 500 at one time. I'd say glory, hallelujah. I believe the testimony, what the Bible said and those that saw him alive, that he lives, he lives, he lives. Thank God he lives. He's alive tonight, and I praise God for the reality of his life and thank him for it. Now, I noticed something else in this scripture tonight that I guess I never paid a lot of attention to before. But look in verse number 7. After that, he was seen of James. Seen of James, then of all the apostles. And here we find him appearing unto James. Then it says, then of all the apostles. And James here, there's several men in the New Testament named James. But did you know the name James is never found in the Old Testament? Never. But in the New Testament, there's several Jameses that are found and talked about, the sons of Alphaeus, and we have others that are talked about in the book of the New Testament. But this James, I believe to be the James that was the Lord's half-brother. He was Joseph's son and Mary's son, but Jesus had a different father. Amen. And he was virgin born of the Son of God. But here he is. And James was not a believer at first when Jesus began his ministry. But later, some believe that even right here, when he saw Jesus, was when he was converted and saved and believed. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about this, James here. But we do know this, that this James later, after he was saved, he began to grow in the Lord and began to mature and became a leader of the church in Jerusalem. And you remember Paul came to Jerusalem to see the leaders. He saw James and talked to him. So here I believe that this appearance of Jesus was to James that he might prepare him for the work that he had to do, getting him ready for something special, work in his life. I want to say tonight, anybody that's ever been used of God, anybody that's ever really God had his hand on them and used them in any way special, I believe there's been a special time they had an encounter with the living Christ, and not just in salvation, but I'm talking about in a time, a special time together with the living God. You say, preacher, you're crazy. I may be, but I'm enjoying being crazy. Amen. Praise God. Hey, you say, preacher, now explain that. Well, I'll try to help you a little bit here in a minute, but let me say this in Ephesians 5:18. And Sunday we were preaching on about the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit and the leadership of the Holy Spirit, encouraging young folk of that Spirit, live in their lives, lead their lives, guide their lives, and let him help them and protect them and guide them and all that. But Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit. And I used to wonder why in the world would God put that in the same verse talking about being drunk with wine. Then it dawned on me one day, what are you talking about? People that's drunk on wine, they don't know half time what they're doing. They just get out there and they're under the influence of that liquor or whatever fermented drink they've drunk. They're under the influence of that, and they act accordingly to that influence of that liquor within them. And they may beat their wife or their children, or they may use the Lord's name in vain. They may go home and make a mess out of everything. They may spend money on that they ought to have been buying groceries for the family. They may be disrespectful to other people. They may get very generous and start buying drinks for everybody. It's hard to say what they'll do. But I got to thinking about that. Isn't that how it is when you're filled with the Spirit of God? It may be that when you're under influence of the Holy Ghost of God, you do some things you wouldn't do otherwise. I knew a man in Virginia I used to try to win to God. His wife came to church. He was a pretty well up-to-do fella, had a good job, good paying job, lived in a nice house, had all that, but wasn't saved. I'd go sometimes to see him, but he would be kind and considerate, and he would be very thoughtful, and he even invited me one time to go with him and look at a tunnel. They were tunneling through the mountain over there between Whitfield and Bluefield, West Virginia, and he was in charge of some of that, and he invited me to go with him and look at it inside before they ever got through. And it was interesting, but he's that kind of a fella. But then if he got drunk, look out. He'd liable to run you off. He'd get on the front porch. He wouldn't have dared done this had he not been drunk. But he'd get on the front porch and play a guitar and sing. Crazy stuff. And I mean, it was unreal what that man would do. The influence. And I had another fellow and I've told you many times about him. I used to run him down, try to talk to him about Jesus He didn't want anything to do with me. He'd get drunk, he'd come looking for me. He'd come to my house looking for me. I was in the basement one night and I looked out a window and there's a head upside down in the window. I thought to myself, there he is. There he is, drunk again. I need to go upstairs and see if I can talk to him a little bit and get him home. And so I did, but that's the way it is. When you get drunk on the Spirit, feel the Spirit of God, you're going to go to the house of God. You're liable to get generous, amen? Get the giving. You're liable to talk to people you wouldn't talk to otherwise. You're liable to do things you wouldn't do otherwise when you're filled with the Spirit and the power of God. Amen. That's pretty good, isn't it? I like it. Amen. And I believe that everybody that's ever been used of God, and I believe people that are, now this thing about being filled with the Spirit, it's not just a one-time happening. And you feel the Spirit over and over again. The New Testament talks about in the early church, they were filled with the Spirit. Then later again, it says, and they were all filled with the Spirit. Later again, it talks about they were filled with the Spirit. And so it's not a one-time happening. And it's like the fellow praying to the altar one time. He did it many, many times. He'd say, Lord, fill me, fill me, fill me. And the preacher walked by him one day and said, Lord, don't do it. He leaks. Amen. He wouldn't live right half the time, but he wanted the Lord to fill him. And I'm saying to you tonight, if your bucket leaks, and no use in getting filled up. But I praise God when we're right with God and we are instrument yielded to God in obedience and subject to his leadership and his guidance, he will fill us up and he will help us. Amen. I'm glad for that truth and that reality. A special time with God. Now, I don't want anybody to leave out of here tonight and say that preacher's preaching something that we don't believe. He's gone, done, lost it. He's got so old he went off on the deep end of it. Well, I'm not off on the deep end yet, but I'm heading that way, amen. I'm glad, praise God, that God does hear and answer prayer. There is a supernatural work of God in our lives. God is real in our life. And if you've ever been used of God to any extent, God knew had a special time, a place somewhere that you really yielded yourself to God. I remember when God called me to preach, and I was always bashful and shy. And God called me to preach, and I thought, well, what in the world am I going to do now? And so I could prepare a message, and I remember the first time I preached, and as a first-time preacher, I did okay. I got through it. I had it outlined. I had it together, and I got through it, and somebody rededicated her life, and we had a good time and all that kind of stuff. But I'd preach it several times, and I just said, Lord, I need something from God. I need some help, and I can't handle this by myself. One night, there's a young preacher myself. We went across a mountain to a place called Sugar Grove, Virginia. And I knew where there's a church over there. And back behind that church, you had a picnic area right next to the mountain. We got back up in there, away from everybody and everything. And I said, now we're going to pray. You just do what you want to do. I'm going to pray and ask God to help. I need some help. And so I got to praying, and he got to praying. I don't know how long we prayed, don't know how long we was there. I just know Brother Jimmy God met with us. I knew before I got through that God had helped me. I knew the Holy Spirit God had got a hold of my heart, wrung me out. I was shaking hands with pine trees and hugging pine trees and running up and down the mountain and everything else. And finally, we calmed down enough to get together and get back home. And next time I preached, I remember God got on me, hallelujah. And I forgot about the outline. I forgot about everything else. And just God, let God be what he wanted to be, do what he wanted to do. And found out, hallelujah, he was God. And he had called me to preach. And I by the power and the help of God, I could. And without him, I could do nothing. And ever since that day, it's been different now. I've struck out a lot of times preaching. I realize that fact. I mentioned this one day about good ball players. They strike out more than they ever hit home runs, but they're known for hitting home runs. Amen. So you listen to a preacher long enough, he'll strike out some more. Hey, sometimes I come in here and I'm not exactly where I need to be with God. Preacher, you don't ever come in like that, do you? More times than you know about, probably. And then there's other times I come in, I'm sitting over here and I'm about ready to walk out that door and go back to the house or go hide and do something. And then God, all of a sudden, I'll be praying to myself and saying, Lord, I don't know what I'm going to do today. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost will hit down on the deep end of my gable end of my soul, and I can't help myself and get up and feel God and say hallelujah. I praise God. It's real. Amen. Well, I'm trying to tell you tonight, it's good to have a good time with God somewhere. Amen. That's not the only time I've had a good time with God, but I tell you, I'll never forget that time. You believe in the second work of grace? No. Not a second work of grace, just a continual working of the grace of God and the power of God and the Holy Ghost of God. I mean, thank God, God wrung me out and let me know it is Him, not me. And I say hallelujah and praise God. I'm glad for a living God. Amen. You had any time with Him lately? Amen. God will make a difference in your life. He'll change you. I'm talking about saved people. I'm talking about people living for God now, witnessing now. I mean, when He gets in it, really gets in it, you'll be surprised what will happen. Amen. And you can witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, have the power of God around you and upon you, and do something for God. I say hallelujah. Well, I was going to go on, believe I'll stop there. Well, I'm not going to stop. I'm just going to slow up. I don't want to give you any more points tonight. But look back in Joshua chapter 5. I want to show you this. Joshua chapter 5. Moses had his special time with God too while you turn to Joshua. Moses, on the backside of a desert, he and God got together in close to a burning bush. But that wasn't the only time Moses went up on Mount Sinai and the Shekinah glory came down. And he got in the midst of it, came off his face shining so bright, they couldn't even look at him. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you like to get so close to God? Amen. Look what happened to Joshua. Now he's getting ready to do some great things. He's going to take that land for God and God's people. Verse 13, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, they lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him. Now Joshua undoubtedly was out that night looking it over, trying to think, how in the world are we going to take his city? How are we going to get through this? A fortified well. And fact is, they couldn't have took it without God. He looked, and there stood a man over against him, and his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay. I like that answer he gave. Are you for us or against us? He said, no. Nay. Now, I'd have scratched my head on that one. Surely, you got to be for or against us, one. He said, no. What he's trying to get Joshua to see is, it's not me getting on your side. It's going to be on my side. Yeah. We pray a lot of times wanting God to get on our side. That's not what we need to pray. We need to pray God help us get on where He needs us on. Then notice something else here. But as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. Of course, that was the appearance of the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, theophany. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now notice it turned around now. At first when he saw him, he didn't know who he was, so he just said, are you for us or against us? He said, nay. But he said, I'm captain of the Lord's host. And when he realized it was the appearance of God in flesh, he fell down and worshiped him. And then he said, what saith my Lord to his servant? I'm not asking you what are you going to do for me? I'm asking you, what do you want me to do for you? Amen. That's good, isn't it? And then notice the 15th verse. And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot. Now, if that had been us, we'd said, what in the world has taken my shoe got to have to do with taking this city I'm about to take? But Joshua, he didn't say anything about it. Just notice what he did. And place whereupon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. I mean, he didn't wait. He didn't hesitate. Taking his shoe off there. As man said, it's holy ground. He believed it. Took his shoe off. He was worshiping. He was asking, what do you want me to do? And being obedient. Jericho was standing there. He wasn't worried about Jericho. He wasn't worried about how he's going to win the battle. He was concerned about this man that stood before him. When you have close encounters with him, everything else fades in the dimness. It's not that congregation you're going to preach to. It's not that country you're trying to reach. It's not that money that you need. It's not that family problem that you have. It's not that problem you think you've got at work. It's, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then worship and just do what he says to do in obedience to him. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for the word of God, and thank you, Heavenly Father, for the certainty of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then thank you, Lord, for the encounters with the living Christ that made the difference in James' life, made the difference in Peter's life, and I'm thankful, God, today we can have encounter with the living Christ and make a difference in our lives. I pray tonight you'd have your way in this house. Lord, you know the hearts and lives of every person here. Maybe somebody here tonight is unsaved. Maybe a boy or girl, man or woman that does not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. They need to come tonight. Maybe somebody here that's saved tonight needs to come and fall on the altar and say, Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to help me do what I need to do for the glory of God. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen.